sit and close her eyes and use her imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll invite you to turn your lights out for Immortal Gentlemen. But first, on the lighter side, let's spend some time with Jack Benny. The Jack Benny program spanned some 23 years with great success all along the way. In 1932, when Benny was a top vaudeville headliner, he was discovered by Ed Sullivan, who had asked him to come on a CBS interview program. Benny was a solid hit. Mary Livingston was created in the first couple of years when a script had a young female fan crashing the program. After auditioning several actresses for the part, Benny gave it to his wife. Sadie Marks adapted so well to the brash, peppery role of Mary that her real identity was soon forgotten. Eddie Anderson, originally from San Francisco, became best known to the world as Rochester. Don Wilson, after stints as a salesman, became Benny's announcer in 1934. The program continued in its 7 p.m. Sunday time slot until 1955, the last broadcast live on radio. The program continued in reruns until 1958. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with the Jack Benny program and special guest star Ed Sullivan. From March of 1939, another classic radio program from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so. Dio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Jell-O program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you our master of ceremonies, that suave comedian and sophisticated humorist, Maxwell Stroud.
Now, wait a minute, Don. I refuse to accept that introduction. No matter what Fred Allen says, I'm not Maxwell Stroud. Now, change it immediately.
Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you that quince on the fruit tree of life, Jack Benny.
That's better. Anyway, hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, thanks very much for that royal introduction. It was awfully nice of you to call me a prince.
Oh, don't mention it.
I'll see you later. But you're right, Don. Spring is here. Flowers are blooming. Trees are budding. It's getting warmer every day.
It sure is. Oh, by the way, Jack, have you taken your long underwear off yet?
No, I always unveil in April. But you know, Don, this spring weather has done my cold a world of good. I tell you, it's simply marvelous to be living here in sunny Los Angeles. Yes, sir.
Sunny? Why, Jack, there hasn't been any sun here in over 2 weeks.
Of course not. It's gone to San Francisco for the fair. But it'll be back. I am looking much better, though, don't you think?
Oh, you certainly are. And incidentally, how's Carmichael, your polar bear?
Oh, he's fine, Don. Getting along swell now. You know, I've been taking him out for long walks nearly every day.
You and the bear?
Oh, sure. And you know, Don, I was so embarrassed yesterday. So we were strolling down Hollywood Boulevard, and all of a sudden, Carmichael pulled out a tin cup. Oh, I don't know where he got it.
Not much you don't.
Phil, I was talking to Don. But as long as you're here, I want to thank you for taking my place on the program last week when I was sick in bed.
That's all right, Jack. Say, those jokes of mine were pretty hot, weren't they?
Hot? They were warmed over, if that's what you mean. Hot. You got the next line, Phil. Go ahead. What are you waiting for?
You just ain't modern, that's all.
Modern? What a combination. Corny and illiterate. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello. Say, Jack, I saw you and your polar bear on the boulevard yesterday. Boy, what a crowd you had around you.
Yes, we were quite a sensation, weren't we?
Yeah, but I thought you were overdoing it with your violin.
Now, Mary, don't jump at conclusion. It just so happens that I was taking my violin to the repair shop.
Sounded all right to me.
Now, Mary, don't make up things. You know very well I was not playing that violin.
Then why was the bear dancing?
Because the pavement was hot and keep still. Gee whiz, the way you're questioning me, you think I didn't have an amusement license. Now, let's forget it.
What territory are you working next week?
Westlake Park. Will you be there? We start out with a program about spring, and here we are in Westlake Park.
Shall I unpack the lunch?
Now, stop this. Phil, I think you better play a number before the ants spoil our little picnic.
Okay.
Oh, no, you don't, Phil Harris. I just wrote a poem about spring, and you're all going to hear it.
Now, Mary, we're not going to listen to a lot of...
You are, too.
Oh, all right. Get it over with. What's the title of your poem?
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I will throw some rocks at you.
Now, there's a sentimental thought. Go ahead, Mary.
Winter, you have gone away. Where you are, I cannot say. But spring is here, and birdies sing. Gee, I'm happy. Pling, pling, pling.
Pling, pling, pling. What's that for?
I'm playing a banjo.
Oh, I didn't see it. Continue.
I saw a robin not long ago making a nest of grass and snow.
Snow?
And then I saw an old blue jay building his nest in Jack's toupee.
Now, isn't that silly?
Yesterday, I spent 2 hours watching the bees among the flowers. Buzz, 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 they were making honey. And I got stung where it wasn't funny.
Well, it's your own fault.
Last verse. Take it, Don.
You can have your spring with birds and bees. I'll take a dish of Jell-O, please. It's tempting, delicious, and oh so divine.
All out, folks. It's the end of the line.
Well. That was very good, both of you. Now, Phil, if you'll put down your nail file, how about a number? what's it going to be?
I'm going to play a little ditty entitled, We Don't Know Where Mom Is, But We've Got Pop on Ice.
Ooh. Phil, now you pick up that baton and redeem yourself. We got pop on ice. I'm going to get some shut-eye played by Phil Harris. I don't know where Mom is, but we got pop on ice. Wow. Phil, no kidding. How can you possibly be so corny?
Corny? I resent that, Jack. I'm high class.
All right, then have it your way. You're cream of corn. Say, that was a fast one, eh, Mary?
Yeah, that was a stinger.
I'm glad that's over with. I was a little worried about how you were going to read that. And now, folks. And now, folks, since our feature attraction this evening is rather long, I will start announcing it without further ado. Tonight, the Busy Benny Bumpkins will present a hotel mystery drama entitled...
Say, Jack, look at Kenny standing over there biting his nails.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Kenny.
Hello.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me, that's what.
Now, Kenny, I know there's something bothering you. What is it?
I'll suffer alone, thank you.
Kenny Baker, I don't want you coming in here with a long face. Now, what's wrong?
Did you ever buy a ticket on the Irish sweepstakes?
Yes.
Did you win?
No.
Well, put yes and no together and leave me alone.
Oh, so that's it. Listen, Kenny, everybody can't win. You bought a ticket, so what?
$2.50 shot to Dante's Inferno.
All right. Don't be such a hard loser.
Look who's talking.
Quiet. Now, folks, getting back to our play, in our hotel mystery, I will play the part of the clerk, or Clark, as they say in England.
Or Cluck, as they say in Waukegan.
Phil, have you so much money saved up that you can afford to ad-lib at random? If not, I would suggest less levity. Now, let's see. I'm going to be the clerk, and Mary, you're going to be the telephone operator.
Okay. Say, Jack, why don't you be the house detective?
Because I don't want to. I'm going to be the clerk.
Gee, two flat feet gone to waste.
Never mind that. Now, this murder mystery will go on immediately.
I'll never eat another Irish potato, believe me.
Kenny, will you forget about that sweepstake ticket? Now, folks, as I've been trying to say, this murder mystery will go on immediately after... Come in.
Pardon me, is this the Jell-O program?
Yes, it is. What can I... Well, of all people, Ed Sullivan. How are you, Ed?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you?
Well, it certainly is a pleasant surprise. Nice of you to drop in, Ed. We're doing a swell play tonight. You'll enjoy it.
Well, thanks, but to tell the truth, Jack, I really came up here for another reason.
Oh. Well, it's sure good to see you again. Say, Ed, I don't think you've ever met my gang. This is Mary Livingston, our leading lady.
How do you do, Miss Livingston?
Mary, this is Ed Sullivan. He writes a very famous newspaper column.
I never saw my name in it.
Mary. Don't mind her, Ed. She's a little blunt.
She's a little brat, too.
Yes. Yes. She is. Now, there are Don Wilson and Phil Harris. Harris is the one with the false eyelashes. Right there.
Oh, I know them both. Hiya, fellas.
Hiya, Ed.
And oh, yes, I want you to meet our young tenor, Kenny Baker. Kenny, this is Ed Sullivan.
Hello, Kenny.
Oh, an Irishman, huh? Give me my $2.50 back.
Kenny. Mr. Sullivan has nothing to do with the Irish sweepstakes. You see, Ed, he's a little upset because he didn't win.
Oh, come now. Kenny, I bought a ticket and I didn't win either.
Oh, a sucker, huh?
Kenny, I've had about enough from you. Now go over in the corner and lay down.
Jolly little troop you have here.
Yes. Well, Ed, we're just about to put on our little play, so sit down and make yourself comfortable.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. I didn't come up here to watch your program. I'm here as a reporter.
Oh. Well, what's on your mind, Ed?
I want to get the lowdown on this Maxwell Stroud stuff. Now, what about it? Are you Jack Benny or Maxwell Stroud?
Ed, believe me, I'm Jack Benny. And until 2 weeks ago, I never even heard of Maxwell Stroud.
Well, last Wednesday night, Fred Allen had the real Jack Benny on his program, and a notary public from Waukegan approved it.
Now, wait a minute, Ed. You and I have been friends for a good many years. We started on our careers at the same time. We've palled around together from the bright lights of Broadway to the battle-scarred trenches of France.
I don't remember that.
Well... We've stuck together through thick and thin, you and I, the two of us. We've called each other buddy. Now, whom do you believe, me or the notary?
The notary, buddy.
Well, maybe I didn't build it up enough. But look, Ed, regardless of what Alan said, you know that my name has always been Jack Benny.
Well, you could have changed it, you know. Take my case, for instance. My name wasn't always Sullivan.
Oh, no? What was it?
Hooligan.
Hooligan?
Yes, Edward H. Hooligan.
Oh, what's the H for?
Happy.
Mary. Now, look, Ed, don't pay any attention to Alan. I'm the real Jack Benny, and you can tell your readers tomorrow that I'm not Maxwell Stroud.
Well, let me ask you something. What about that ring you're wearing?
What about it?
What does that MS stand for?
Mostly silver.
It does not. That MS on my ring stands for Master of Ceremonies.
Master of Ceremonies? Ceremonies begins with a C.
In Russian? Well, I got this ring in Moscow when I was playing Rasputin's Rivoli. I went over very big. Now, Ed, will you please sit down and watch our play?
Oh, no. I'm here for a story, and I'm going to get it.
Say, why don't you run out and get drunk like reporters do in the movies?
Don't evade the issue. Fred Allen has definite proof that you're an imposter. You're not Jack Benny.
I'm not, eh? Well, you call up Mansell Talcott, the mayor of Waukegan. He'll tell you. Why, he planted a great big elm tree in the public square in my honor. Call him up.
I tried to, but he wouldn't come down out of the tree.
Oh, is he up there again? Ever since he visited Hollywood, he thinks he's Tarzan. Now, we've got a long play to do tonight, Ed, and I haven't time to discuss this any longer.
All right, Mr. Benny, or Stroud, or whatever your name is. I'll go, but I'll be back and get to the bottom of this, or my name ain't Edward Happy Hooligan Sullivan. Goodbye.
Goodbye. What a prying Prunella.
Why were you, Jack? I'd have punched you right in the nose.
Now, Mary, how could I hit a man wearing glasses?
He wasn't wearing glasses.
Well, I am. Now, folks, our hotel mystery will go on immediately after Kenny Baker's song. Go ahead, Kenny.
How can I sing when my money lies over the ocean?
Sing, Kenny! I've had enough for one day. And where's my cigar?
Sleepy garden walls, and the stars begin to flicker in the sky. Through the mist of a memory, you wander back to me, breathing my name with a sigh. Now the sun is sinking low, and twilight steals across the darkening sky. As I loved you long ago, so now my love betrays me with a sigh. Come to me again, come to my arms forever. Like the stars fade with the dawn, so I awake and found you gone away. Once again I hold you tight. Though you're gone, your love lives on when moonlight beams. And as long as my heart will beat, loved one will always meet here in my deep
That was Deep Purple, sung by Kenny Baker. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our play. That great hotel mystery entitled... Or... Now, the scene of our drama... is the lobby of the Hotel Chafing Dish, located in the thriving little town of Sterno, Pennsylvania. It is a dark and stormy night. Outside, the wind is howling and whistling. Gazooks, what weather. It is 8 p.m., just 1 hour before the stroke of 9.
What happens then?
Nothing. Curtain. Music.
Good evening, Hotel Chafing Dish. Here's your party. Good evening. What's that, sir? Oh, that's terrible. You'll do no such thing.
What seems to be the trouble, Miss Labonz?
Mr. Ferncliff from 503 wants to send some money down to pay his bill.
Money? What's wrong with that?
2 hours ago, he ordered some paper, green ink, and a picture of Lincoln.
Oh, is he doing that again? Last week, he gave me a $5 bill with baby snooks on it. Oh, well. What a night. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'd like a room, please.
Would you like a room with a bath, or do you want to follow the arrow? We have both.
It doesn't matter. I won't be here long.
I see. Front, take this gentleman's luggage up to 401.
Be careful of that alligator bag. It hasn't had lunch yet.
You know something? I think that guy is nuts.
Oh, tush, tush, Miss Labonz. He's all right. Well, sir, I hope you have a good night's rest. You look tired.
Yes, I had a tough day at Waterloo.
That three-cornered hat should have tipped me off. Yes?
Pardon me, but the folding bed in my room is stuck, and I can't get it down.
We'll take care of it, Mr. Baldome.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Good evening. Yes, Mr. Smith? What? There's a hippopotamus in your bathtub. Well, put your glasses on and apologize to your wife.
Mrs. Smith is a pretty big woman. Well, 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 how do you do?
Hello. I'd like a room. I just got married.
Oh, a newlywed, eh? Where's your wife?
Outside. She's carrying the trunk.
Carrying the trunk? My goodness, is it heavy?
I think so. She never had bow legs before. Here she is. You can put it down now, Sophie.
Thanks, Waldemar. You're so considerate.
Say, you got her trained early, haven't you?
Yeah.
You ought to see me balance a ball on my nose.
Balance a ball?
It's the only seal I ever saw with a rabbit coat.
Quiet, Miss Labonz. What sort of a room would you folks like?
We want the bridal suit.
Suit? That's sweet, sweet.
Lay off of my wife, you masher.
I'm not flirting with your wife. As a matter of fact, I think she's very homely.
Well, that's more like it.
Front, take this happy couple up to suite 5B.
Let's hurry upstairs, honey. I don't want to miss the Lone Ranger.
Oh, I'm following that, too. Good night, kiddies.
Good night.
Gee, they're a romantic couple.
Good evening, Hotel Chafing Dish. Yes, 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 yes.
Who are you saying yes to?
My darling daughter.
Oh, how is Joni?
Pardon me, but the folding bed in my room is still stuck, and I can't get it down.
I'll get to it as soon as possible, Mr. Baldome.
Please do. Goodbye.
Charming fellow. Well, more business.
Good evening. I'd like to get a room.
Yes, sir. What's your name, please?
Bill Harris.
Oh, you better have baggage, brother. No stalling. Now, where are your bags?
Under my eyes, straight man.
Don't be so smart and get out of here. We have no room.
Okay, I'll sleep at the Wilshire Bowl.
What a show-off. Well, here comes Junior Wilson, the little devil. Hello, Donald.
Hello.
Now, Donald, a little boy like you should be in bed this hour of night. Don't you want to grow up to be a fine, strong man like your father?
That big tub.
Now, Junior, that isn't nice.
I don't care. I'm going to be a radio announcer. I want to tell everybody but Jell-O has 6 delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and wine.
Don't forget the big red letters on the box. What do you got in your mouth? Now go to bed. Good night, Junior.
Good night, Quinsface.
Quinsface, I had trouble with your father on that. You know, Miss Levance, that Junior is a cute little rascal. He's got big blue eyes, just like his mother.
Yes, but his chins belong to Daddy.
Daddy can take the rap for his stomach, too. Oh, well. Yes, sir, what can I do for you?
Have you any rooms available?
Why, certainly. Quite a bad storm, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Will you be staying long?
No, just for the night. I'm on my way to New York.
Oh. A little business trip?
Not exactly. You see, I'm on a mission of great importance, and I don't wish to discuss it.
Well, I didn't mean to pry into your affairs, Mr.
Stroud. Maxwell Stroud.
Maxwell Stroud?
Well, slap me down and call me grumpy.
Please, Miss Levance. You seem rather nervous, Mr. Stroud. What's wrong?
Can I trust you, young man?
Definitely.
Well, for 2 weeks now, a certain well-known radio comedian in New York City has been perpetrating a vile and vicious slander.
Yes?
He claims that a certain Jack Benny, whom he hates...
Yes, I know.
...is not Jack Benny at all.
Yes.
But really Maxwell Stroud.
But you are Maxwell Stroud.
Exactly. And when I get to New York, the whole world will know of the cheap trickery that's been foisted on the public by this nasal buffoon.
Well, I'm with you, Mr. Stroud. Here's the key to your room.
Thank you.
By the way, are you acquainted with Jack Benny?
No, but I understand he's revolting. Good night.
Good night. Well, Miss Levance, that's very important news we just heard.
I'll say it is.
Pardon me, but the folding bed in my room is still stuck, and I can't get it down.
Don't worry, Mr. Baldwin. We'll take care of it first thing in the morning.
I wish you would. My wife is in it.
Oh. Well, I'll attend to it at once. My, this is certainly a busy night.
Hey, you, did a fella check in here a few minutes ago by the name of Maxwell Stroud?
Yes, he did.
What room is he in?
313. Wait a minute, who are you?
I'm Ed Sullivan of the New York Daily News, the Pittsburgh Press, the Hollywood Citizen News, the Boston Traveler, the Philadelphia Ledger, the Omaha World Herald, the Denver Post, and the Chicago Tribune.
Did you hear those shots, Miss Levance?
Yes, they came from upstairs.
I suspected something like that. Follow me.
You don't think he'd go first, do you?
Oh, no. Come on, let's go. Good heavens! It's Maxwell Stroud. He's dead.
I thought so. Now we've got to find out who done it.
That's who did it. Fine newspaper man. But who in the world would want to kill Maxwell Stroud?
Look! Someone jumped through that window and he's running down the fire escape.
That must be the murderer. Did you get a good look at him, Happy?
No, I didn't.
Look, here's the derby hat on the floor. He must have dropped it.
Let me have that. Uh-huh. Look at the initials inside of that hat. F.A.
F.A.?
Yes. That proves the man who killed Maxwell Stroud was none other than... Yipe! He got me. Ooh.
Who shot you? Tell us, who shot you?
Yes, who done it?
I told you before, that's who did it. I was shot by... I was on nuts. Play, Phil.
From March 26th of 1939, it's been the Jack Benny Program with special guest star Ed Sullivan. In a moment, will invite you to turn your lights out for Immortal Gentlemen as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Lights Out, radio's ultimate horror show, was first heard locally on Chicago station WENR in a late-night 1934 15-minute feature. The program was created by Willis Cooper, then a staffer at NBC's Chicago studios. Tucked away in an after-midnight slot in its early days, the program offered imaginative plays so filled with sinister, throat-clutching sound effects, it created quite the sensation. When Cooper left for the West Coast in 1936, NBC brought in Arch Obler, a young playwright who had done some work for Rudy Valley and Grand Hotel. Lights Out really became Obler's show. From his first program in May of 36, Obler approached each script as a new challenge. After 2 years of trying to constantly top himself, Obler quit and began his famous plays series. Lights Out continued for a year after Obler's departure, the scripting and directing done by NBC Chicago staffers. The program lasted until August of 1939. Then in October of 42, Arch Obler resurrected Lights Out from New York as a 30-minute Tuesday night CBS entry for Ionized Yeast. The final series came to Mutual in July of 1947. Lights Out made the transition to television in 1949, running until 1952. But unfortunately, the TV version never really achieved the popularity of the radio show. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Lights Out and Immortal Gentlemen from June of 1939. Another classic radio show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
It is later than you think.
This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these Lights Out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
The Immortal Gentleman, a melodrama about something every one of us has thought of at one time or another. If I could only live forever. Our star, Mr. Franjo Tone, in Arch Obler's newest radio drama, The Immortal Gentleman.
Beautiful that the hands of the sisters, death and night, incessantly, softly remold again and ever again the face of the soiled world.
Now, don't be frightened, Joan. Please, don't be. Yes, I know I screamed, but don't be afraid for me. I'm all right, really, I am. No, don't say anything. Just listen. The reason that I screamed, it made me happy.
Oh, I know.
It sounds confused, but I can tell you freely now for the first time since I've known you.
Tell me what?
About what happened. Tell you about myself, and then you'll understand, and then we'll both be happy. Remember, you once said you never could be happy with me.
Oh, please.
No, please, don't say anything. If you do, I want to hold you in my arms. I've got to talk this thing out first. Talk it out from the time before I knew you until a few moments ago when I screamed and frightened you. You know, you were right. I've been a coward, but not of men, or things, or living, just of not living. You don't know what I mean, do you? Must I say it? Must I say the word? All right, I will. I've been afraid of death. Yes, believe me, Joan, all my life it was that way. Even as a boy, I couldn't be happy because of him. So one thought was in me all through life. If I could only live forever, if I wouldn't die, if I could only live forever. The thought chasing itself in a never-ending circle. So there was no happiness. And the fear in me was in my face and in my work, and you knew it and everyone knew it, but they didn't know why.
No.
Tonight, the echo that is still in my ears, I cried out in fear in front of everyone. And I'm going to tell you why I cried out, and then you'll understand me. And why, I say, I'm free and happy for the first time in my life. And Joan, if it's too strange to believe, just listen patiently. We were sitting in the auditorium, you and I. The politician up on the stage, talking.
And in this coming election, I repeat again, the issue will be clear. An issue made clear by our glorious party. You young men and women...
Sitting there, you next to me, I wasn't listening to him on the stage. I was thinking the same infernal thoughts I thought all my life whenever I was alone. Of him. Him.
A challenge to you.
And then...
Yes, to you. To every one of you here. A challenge that we must accept, face, and challenge in turn.
Speaker's voice wasn't the same. I looked up. No, not the same. The other one, an old man, this one young. Couldn't quite see his face, so dark in the hall. Had something happened to the lights? I turned toward you, said, Joan, when did the lights... I stopped. You weren't there. Believe me, not there. Another woman.
Did you speak to me?
She said that. I said, where's Joan?
Joan?
Well, she was sitting right next to me.
Shh.
You have her chair. Where did she... I mean, the young lady who was sitting here, where did she go?
I've been here for hours.
But she was here. Here, I tell you.
Quiet, quiet, the speaker.
The time has passed for pleadings. The time has passed for petitions. We are representative of youth. And youth is the time for action. So we must act.
Speaker, what did he matter? I sat there, couldn't figure it out. You, Joan, where had you gone? Could I have dozed off and you slipped out and this other woman taken your place? Yet... How strange you're leaving without a word. And then... Wind. Wind in the auditorium. I looked up. The sky. No roof. A single star and clouds. No roof. Sleep? No, awake. I got up to go.
No, sit down. No one can leave.
But my friend...
You have sworn to stay. You must.
I sat down. Sworn to stay... What in the world? I sat down.
You know there can be no compromise. There will be no compromise. For if we compromise, we are doomed as they have always doomed us.
Speaker, what did he matter? No roof on the place. Crazy. How could a roof disappear in a moment without... I said to the girl, where's the roof? What's happened to this place? Where are we?
You know.
No? What? Well, I'd get out of the place. I'd find you, Joan. Started to go again, but the girl's hand tight on my wrist.
No, don't. You swore to stay.
Swore?
You swore. They swore. He speaks the truth.
But what?
Listen.
Good, then now, good friends, let us put an end to words. This meeting of ours was destined. For 500 years, destined.
What was he saying? For 500 years, destined. For what?
None of us can say we have moved quickly. For in the meditation of these 500 years has come the essence of truth. A truth that burns bright in the hearts of all of us.
What kind of a political speech was that?
And so an end to words. In this meeting we have spoken words which none dare question. Now the time has come for action which none dare deny us.
The girl leaned close and whispered.
None dare deny us.
Deny us? Deny what? Wanted to yell out just the way I did a few moments ago, but I couldn't. Something about the place, the speaker, people around me. I could only sit there. Questions pounding in my head.
Youth is action. Action is youth. We will act together and make ourselves a new world. A better world. Our world.
Meeting over. Everyone getting up. The girl said...
Come with me.
Where?
You know.
I know. Crowd pressing around me. Dark, strange faces. Young, angry faces. None of my friends. My friends? Well, where were they? Joan, where were you? The auditorium in ruins. She led me out, I saw that. It was madness. Yet a strangely intriguing madness, so I walked with her. Led me through a door. I could hear voices. She said...
Stand here a moment. I want to talk to you. Tell me, why do you act so strangely? Don't you want to go through with it?
Through with what?
There. That's what I mean. You talk as if you don't know.
I couldn't speak. Stood there.
It's a glorious morning for all of us. We've waited 500 years, some of us, for this.
500 years? What was she... I said, 500 years?
Well, perhaps not you, but I've waited 350 myself.
What did you say?
350 years, and now I can't wait another moment. The thought of another empty day suffocates me.
Am I insane or you?
Insane? I don't know the word.
Out of your head. You or I?
You are a strange one. And yet you came here. Why?
Well, to hear a speech?
So, to hear but not to act, eh? You will. You will. All of us will.
And then, the moonlight from under a cloud. And then, her face. I saw her face clearly for the first time. Hers was a loveliness beyond the word. 16, 17, she couldn't have been more. Freshness of the morning. And yet, her eyes, old, bright, wise. So strange, her old eyes in that young face. I stood there, staring at her.
I tell you this, if one of us fails, we all fail, and that can't happen. Remember that. Now come, they're waiting.
Followed her, a room, quite dark, many people in it.
Quiet, please, quiet. There is little time to waste. We will now draw lots. Each of you take a paper as the box is passed. Most of the slips are blank. Only 24 are numbered. Whoever draws a numbered slip stays. The others go.
Slips? Draw lots? What was this? Draw lots for what? Someone came close, held out a box. The girl said...
Take a paper.
I did. She did. The others did. She said...
Look at the slip.
I did. A number. 11. She said...
Good. I too.
Held out the paper in her hand. I saw the number 12 on it.
You and I. You and I.
She and I what?
All those without numbers leave. All those without numbers leave.
The push of bodies around me. And in a moment, there were only a few left. The girl at my side, motionless.
Now we can risk lights.
And in a moment, lights began to glow. I stood there, blinking, and then I saw 24 people in that room, men and women. 24, I counted them, and all of them looked alike. Yes, alike, I tell you, men and women, and their faces as the girls. 24 faces alike as copies of pictures strung along the wall. They, in turn, were staring at me.
Who is he?
A voice said.
Who is he?
Another said.
I don't know. I've never seen him before. Who is he?
They came close around me.
Not one of us.
Who is he?
Who is he?
Not one of us.
All those faces alike, staring, talking. The girl spoke. I knew it was she because her hand was on my arm.
Leave him alone. He is an Atavar.
An Atavar.
What was an Atavar? I wanted to speak, but she spoke.
He'll be all right. I'll see to that.
But an Atavar is unpredictable.
Did I tell you he'll be with me? He drew 11. I drew 12. He'll be with me.
But they're undependable. You know that. Never can tell about an Atavar.
But I'll take care
Never
of him.
Never can tell.
I'll take care of him.
They stood there arguing about me, Joe. Yes, arguing about me. Right. Whether I could, whether I would, whether I was reliable, unreliable. And always that word Atavar. Atavar? Atavar? Mad dreams or mad adventure, whatever it was, I didn't know. Their argument stopped. Apparently, the girl had won. The leader said...
All right, Atavar. You'll be with her. Now, all of you listen. This Atavar is with us. And with us, he'll stay until it's ended.
Ended? Ended? What had begun? What would end?
One question, Atavar. What is your age?
My age? You want to know my age?
Well, didn't you hear, Atavar? What is your age?
The girl said...
Tell him.
My age is 25.
What did you say?
25.
Do not joke. Tell us your age.
I told you. 25. For a moment, no one spoke. They looked at each other, shook their heads slowly, shoulders shrugged.
A Atavar, just a Atavar.
The girl said...
Don't worry, any of you. I'll take care of him. He'll do as he's told.
Do as he's told? Do what? Told her to what? I wanted to open my mouth. Then I didn't, because the leader said...
All right. Our last word. There are 24 of you. 12 pairs. Each pair will go out together. If one fails, the other will succeed.
But when?
Now, at once. We have waited long enough for them. I alone have waited 400 years.
And I 200. 300. I 425.
I understood. Like a blow on the head, I understood. These people, mad. That was it. Talking of living hundreds of years, out of their heads, all of them. Listening to them, I knew that.
340 years.
I've waited 170 years.
And that explained the likeness of their faces. Some sort of weird interbreeding of a family resulting in feeble-mindedness. Well, how did I come among them? Well, outside. Girl with me. Everyone going off in pairs. Their faces tense, angry. going off to some strange madness. The girl said...
Wait here. I'll get what we need, then we'll keep our appointment. Wait here.
Joan, believe me, as she went off into the darkness, leaving me there alone, I swear my head was spinning as if it were on a pivot. And as it spun, the thoughts in my head spun with it.
Madness, dream, madness, dream, madness, dream, madness, dream, madness, dream, madness.
What was happening to me? And then a thought. Had what I'd feared all my life happened at last? Had I died?
Dead. 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 Dead.
Joan.
Dead.
I remember the wind
dead.
Suddenly was cold about
it. Dead.
But I was...
Dead.
Colder. Dead? Was I? And then someone was standing by me. Not the girl, but a man. Smooth, young, handsome face with those old, wise eyes looking at me. He said...
You have not started yet, Etavar.
No. No!
Strange, I've never seen you before. There are so few Etavars. You know, generally, they are not permitted to develop.
And looking at him, I knew I was alive. Of course. And dream? This was no dream.
Yes, there are so few Etavars.
I said, Etavar? Etavars, what the devil are Etavars?
You are a strange one.
Well, tell me, what are Etavars? Why call me an Etavar?
Well, because you are. You're not like us, you know. You are a throwback to the individualistic, unconditioned, embryonic development.
What?
But then, of course, you don't understand, do you? No, an Etavar wouldn't.
Well, tell me.
It is strange that they should have permitted you to develop and not to have explained to you the difference.
What difference? What?
Once in every 2,000 births, and that means once in every 2,000 years, we don't have many new ones in this world, you know, something happens in the incubation process, and instead of one of us perfected ones, one of you develops. A throwback to ancient times, an imperfect creature out of the past. In other words, an atavism. Understand? An atavism.
Atavism? Etavar? Atavism? What the devil's name was this? But he kept talking. He said...
Yet, Etavar, though you are, life must be miserable for you as it is for the rest of us.
Life? Miserable?
Well, of course. Why else would you have joined with us? Well, this is going to be a glorious night for us. But not for them.
I don't understand exactly what
Of course not. Things would be confused for the Etavar mind, wouldn't they? That's the infernal trouble with our minds. Things are much too clear and concise and understandable. And they bred all the confusion out of us a long time ago. Well, now they'll pay for it.
Please, tell me...
Just look at me. I've lived just a handful of years. 250.
He said that, John. Just believe me, 250 years.
And yet, believe me, Etavar, I'm weary unto the death we'll never know.
Death we'll never know.
What good is there in it for any of us living forever?
Living forever.
For the first 50 years of our lives, they condition us. All right. We come out with our brains filled with all knowledge of all time. Paragons all, geniuses all. But what good does it do us? What good? Always they are in the way.
They?
Look, Etavar, you can't be so completely a fool or they would never have let you out. They are the old ones. And what is interesting and exciting in the world, they do. They and no one else. And we who came after them, after they conditioned the world against sickness, illness, age, and death... We have nothing left to do.
I see.
They hold the key position. They. And we stand by and grind the weary years away in nothingness. A world of youth full of the one to do and there's nothing to do. And yet there are worlds out there where we might go, but again they stand in our way and say, no, it shouldn't be done. They. They, the old ones, all around us, holding us down, giving us everlasting life, and then giving us nothing to live for. But this night will change it. You and I and the rest of us, 24. Well, here comes your partner, and I must go with mine. Goodbye, Etavar. Good luck.
He was gone. And then the girl at my side, under her arm, a small black box.
All right, we can go now.
She took my arm. We walked along. In almost a moment, we were in a straight, broad street. Straight, shiny, glistening, bright with a light I have never seen. Quiet, empty street. Clean, bright, and strange. As if in a dream. A dream? This was no dream. And then she said...
In here.
We stepped upon a platform. Part of the sidewalk. It was moving, carrying us swiftly. Swiftly down the street. An escalator? Moving sidewalk? I don't know what. Faster. faster, things rushing by, strange towering buildings. And then I heard that she was talking to me.
I saw you talking to Aro. He has the easy one. We've a hard one.
250 years, he said.
Aro? Yes, that's true.
Lived 250 years?
It isn't much, I know. You must be older. Or are you? Hard to tell with the Natavar.
How old are you?
I? 400. 400 years, but not of living.
What do you mean?
You know. They, with all their years. Before we were born, they took the work of the world, and what is left for us? To wander up and down, pretty ornaments with empty lives. But they forgot one thing. They left ambition in us. And this night we'll find a place to use it.
How?
Atavar, you are a fool. You know and yet you don't know. How can we find a place for ourselves as long as they do as they please? Listen. In the very ancient world, men lived a few years and then died. And they thought that was horrible, but that was good. For when they died, there was a place for youth. Yes. One would fall in his place, and a young one took his place. Sometimes he did better than the one who had gone before, so the world progressed. But now no one falls. No one dies. And so the old ones stay and stay and stay, and we, the young ones, have no place. And when we want to make a place, the old ones say no.
The thing we were riding climbed higher. Higher. And still she talked.
We pleaded and petitioned, and they do not listen. So tonight we act. You and I, Atavar, one of 24.
Act?
By turning back the time to when men died and gave the younger ones their place.
What?
The wrong of each man died with him when he died in that old world. And so tonight we'll see that wrongs are given their belated rest.
How?
You and I, Atavar, we'll do our part up there.
She was pointing up. I looked up to where the building ended, in a cloud.
She sits up there. 5,000 years she's lived every day since the day science shut out death. 5,000 years, but tonight we begin to live. Here.
Into my hand, she thrust the black container. I said, what?
You'll do it. You. In a moment, we reach the spire. She'll come out all smiles and happiness. They can be happy, the old ones who have the work. Do it then, you must.
What?
Throw it at her and she'll be free of life and we'll be free of life without living. You'll do it, Atavar, you will. Throw it at her.
Throw it? What? The thing in my hands? What did she mean, to free that person up there from life? The weight in my hands. Then suddenly I realized, some kind of explosive. She expected me to throw it at that person up in the tower. Me to kill.
You will. You will!
No! No! The word tore through my head and with it tore away confusion. I knew. I understood. This was the world of the future where science had doomed the death I feared. Men lived forever, and these young ones had no chance. And now they were out to kill and make their chance, and I was to kill for them, with them.
You will. You will. You will.
No!
You will.
Not
you will.
My world. Not
you
mine.
Will. You
I
will.
Go back.
You will.
I'm saying that.
You
I will.
Will. There she is, the matriarch. Throw it. Throw it.
I won't kill. Not I. I won't.
Give it to me. Give me that. Give me
that. No! I jumped. Falling. I was falling. Through the horrible space of that horrible future. Down and down and down. The glistening sides of the building rushing past me. Down. Twisting. Clawing at the air, down and down. And then I remembered, in my arms, that explosive. I tried to throw it, but my hands tight around it. I couldn't unlock them. The ground coming up, I screamed. And there I was, sitting next to you, in the hall where I'd been before, the politician upon the stage, my friends around me, you next to me, frightened at my cry. And the roof, quite intact above me. So here it ends, Joan. Sitting there, I stepped ahead in time until a day when men had conquered death. And so somehow I'm not afraid of him, the one at my shoulder anymore, because I think it's good that men should live, then die, and so end the evil in them and give their place to others. Tell me, Joan, do you agree?
Thank you.
Beautiful that the hands of the sisters, death and night, incessantly, softly remold again and ever again the face of this soiled world.
June of 1939, it's been Lights Out with Immortal Gentlemen. That's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our
preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions. All rights reserved.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio, KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.
Of me, 'cause I never take where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea. I'm a rowdy, dowdy, that's me. She's a high hat, baby, that's she. take away the gangles when I take my sheep to tea. Every Sunday afternoon, we forget about our cares, rubbing elbows at the Ritz with those millionaires. When I take my sugar to tea, I'm as ritzy as I can be, 'cause I never take where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea. Sunday afternoon, we forget about our cares, rubbing elbows at the Ritz with those millionaires. When I take my sugar to tea, I'm as ritzy as I can be, for I never take away the gangles when I take my sugar. Take my sugar to tea.
The greatest songs from the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
I enjoy the fact that you mix the old in with the new all the time, and that is great. I enjoy hearing that.
You guys have got to be the best station there is.
Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. SwingStreetRadio.org.